gospel reading in which the sermon is taken from is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. It's on page 79 in the New Testament. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is it that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, "And how much do you owe?" And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of the Lord. Does that parable make you think a little bit? Did you hear some of that that you said to yourself, "Wow, what is he talking about?" I did. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It must seem to us that he's been on that trip for a couple years, because I've been preaching on it for a while. But to Jesus, it must seem like a really short trip, because he knows what's going to happen to him when he gets there. And as he goes along, he teaches his disciples and those in the crowds through parables. This section that we've read last week and next week and a couple weeks ago in August that we either preached on or just read as a gospel sing are a series of parables that are kind of interconnected. The parable of the rich fool, the parable that we'll read next week, so I'm not going to give it away, but the rich man and Lazarus. I will say that Lazarus is not the one raised from the dead. Okay? The parable that we know is the prodigal son, which I prefer to call the lost son or the lost sons. And this one, some call it the parable of the shrewd manager. I prefer to call it the parable of the unrighteous manager or the unrighteous steward. That's what it means in the Greek. But they're kind of interrelated. And I think the one today is almost the narrative opposite of the parable of the prodigal son. And that's something that we probably have heard a lot more than we've ever heard anybody preach on this one. Parables are oral stories written down in the Greek with no punctuation. And for hundreds of years, especially since the time that they were put in English, it causes problems in how we read the Bible. I found these on the internet. I would never come up with this on my own. Professor was in an English class in college, and he wrote on the board, or she wrote on the board, "Woman without her man is nothing." And he said, "I want you all to punctuate that like it should be, a correct punctuation." And so half the class, or some of the class, did it this way. "Woman without her man is nothing."
Amen.
Okay. The other part of the class did it this way. "Woman without her man is nothing." Those are both correct grammatically. I can read them different. I could probably read them exactly like that without the punctuation, and you may understand which one I'm saying and who I was trying to get across. But if we go back to the first one and there's no punctuation, it's left up to the person who reads it and what they bring and their biases to that. That's what this whole sermon is about. Now, there's two truths with that. The Word of God is never wrong. It is not the words that are wrong. It's how we decide to read it, or the way we hear it, that may be wrong. So Jesus says to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and his manager was squandering the property of the rich man." Do you know who else squandered his property? Use the exact same phrase in the Greek and in the English. The lost son. It's the only time that word squandered is used in the entire Bible. That's why I think there's a connection between the two. So the rich man calls in the manager and says, "I've heard some things about you. Give me an accounting of your management." And so, like the lost son, the dishonest manager, and I keep using that phrase because that's what Jesus calls him, the dishonest, unrighteous, unjust manager, knew he was at fault. The lost son, the son that got the father to divide the property and went off to the next country, knew he was wrong. And he did not argue. The manager does not argue with his master. And that's where the similarities between those two parables end. Now they diverge. Instead of saying, "I'm wrong," and deciding what to do, like the lost son did, which was to go back home and ask for forgiveness, the manager says to himself, "I have decided what to do, so people may welcome me into their homes, into their houses where they live." So the manager decided on a course of action that would enable him to survive being unemployed and homeless. Because when you were a manager, you lived on the farm. It's like being a tenant farmer, right? You lose your house or where you were living. and he had to go find some other job. And so he comes up with this plan. And he talks to the people that own the master money, and he says, cut it down by 50% or cut it down by 20%, hoping that those people that he does that to will feel indebted to him. So do you see the difference in the parables? In the one, the lost son realized his error and asked for forgiveness. In this one, the manager knew he was guilty, but instead of forgiveness, he tried to purchase a solution to his problem, and he didn't even use his own resources. He used the rich man's resources to try to buy himself out of problem. And then Jesus continues the parable. He says, and his master commended, which means praised, the dishonest manager because the dishonest manager had acted shrewdly. So, the question is before us, and it has been since the beginning of people trying to understand this. Did Jesus just praise the dishonest man for acting shrewdly? And we ask ourselves, some of us, how can that be? We may turn it around and say, why would Jesus Christ, the Lord, the sinless one, praise any dishonest person? And again, I'll make that point that it's Jesus himself who calls this manager dishonest, unrighteous. So the second truth to the sermon is this. Jesus is the Son of God. He can do whatever he wills. If he wants to commend a dishonest manager, he can do so. I just don't think he did. In this parable, the master is not God, the Father, nor Jesus, the Son of God, as we tend to believe when we read the parable of the lost sons, that the Father was God, right? Do y'all believe that? That's what we teach most of the time. Here, the master is just a master. And the dishonest manager is just a dishonest manager. But it is true, because Jesus says so, that the master praises the man who just ripped him off. And we were not the only ones that want an explanation to that. The disciples must have also been puzzled at this, because in the very next verse, Jesus gives us an explanation. He says, for non-believers, that's the children of the dark, non-believers are more shrewd. The Greek word is wise. Look up in your King James Version. It says wise, not shrewd. In dealing with their own kind, then believers are in dealing with non-believers. That's a truth. People who are honest get taken advantage of people who are not honest all the time. Anybody not agree with that? You don't agree with that? That people that are honest are taken advantage of. Yeah, thank you. So, the Greek word that was used was wise in the way of the world. And so Jesus does not mean this as a compliment. Not only that, but we even make the whole thing worse when we use the word shrewd. The original meaning of the word shrewd comes from the Taming of the Shrew. Anybody know that Shakespeare story? The shrew was not a very good lady to begin with, right? So shrewd is one of those words that over the last 400 years makes a, is more positive now than it was when Shakespeare used it. In fact, some people think it's really positive for a businessman to be shrewd. I think it's debatable if you think of shrewd as being sort of shady. And then Jesus says this, which is what this whole point is about. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, those friends that you made may welcome you into the eternal homes that are tents. T-E-N-T-S. In this parable, there are two words that in the English we translate as homes. The manager wants to bribe, buy off, do whatever he's doing with the debtor, so maybe they'll offer him a place to live with a roof and keep out the rain and all of that. That's permanent. And Jesus says here, well, that may work, and maybe those people may welcome you, but when they do, you're going to end up in a tent, something that's not eternal. It's the exact opposite of the way we read this. Now, the question that we ask is, did Jesus use sarcasm in his preaching? Yeah. It was something that a lot of preachers, even the best, use. Now, sarcasm over the years has become a negative. It means you're trying to hurt somebody. Now you're trying to make somebody see the difference in reality, I think. Jesus uses sarcasm in this same gospel. First, in the Sermon on the Plain, he says, can a blind person guide a blind person? That's sarcasm. Some people call it satire. You might call it irony. To me, they're all the same. And then later, but before this story, Jesus says to the Pharisees who had warned of Herod's plan to kill him, you might have remembered we preached on this, go tell that fox for me. I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I went and finished my work. Yet today and tomorrow and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. So sarcastically, he is telling Herod, you're going to get your chance. I'm going to get it to Jerusalem, and there you'll have a chance to kill me. Again, that's sarcasm. Jesus uses it. He uses it quite often in the other Gospels, but we don't have 4 hours. And then that's the end of the parable. Okay? And then Jesus starts teaching. For the people that maybe didn't understand the sarcasm and the point of that, he makes more direct statements to them. Like these, which are not necessarily from Proverbs, but they could have been. This is Hebrew wisdom literature. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And he goes on and he talks and he says, no slave can serve two masters, and you cannot serve God and wealth. So from a parable about money, Jesus actually begins to teach about money. And his point, or the way to know what he's trying to talk about, is it uses the word faithfulness. In the parable, he mentions unrighteous a lot of times. We say dishonest. Here he talks about faithfulness, which is the opposite. Money is not a possession. It is a trust given to us from God. And he expects us to use it for his glory, not our glory. The one that people sometimes miss is Jesus teaches that money points to something outside itself, to the true riches that come in the life that will be ours if we believe. But for that to happen, we have to learn faithfulness here and now. And so we have this idea of money, and we know what that is. And then Jesus talks about riches in the future, and we don't know exactly what that is. It could be eternal life, could be joy, could be lots of things. But basically, he's saying, if you're faithful, good things will happen. And he ends with those two statements that are used and quoted a lot. No slave can serve two masters, and you cannot serve God and wealth. That's why that song about idols was picked. Though she never said the word Jesus in the whole song, that's who she was talking about. And you can't have idols. Experience suggests that the world has not heard this message and taken it to heart. We still have idols. Sometimes that idol is wealth. And if we make it an idol, we do not and cannot serve God the way he wants us to. So as we go out today, let us just remember to make every effort to love God with all our hearts and all our soul and all our mind and with all our strength, and leave the love of money and wealth to those other people. Amen.